Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Now, Wednesday evening, we spoke on the seventh benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son. And that was that we are given a special witness within ourselves of this relationship. And we took our text from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. We're just going to review a little bit before we move on to our next promise. In 1 John 5 and verse 10 we read, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the witness which God gave of his Son." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read from thy word this morning, and we recognize, Lord, that there's benefits that are given to those who recognize the relationship between you and your Son, that actually understand that you had a Son. Because, Father, we know that in this hour many believe that the Son was not really a Son, because as a Trinity would go, that He was coexistent and co-eternal with the Father, meaning He never did have a beginning. And yet, as your prophet said, all sons have beginnings, therefore He had a beginning. And therefore the Father had to be before the Son, and they couldn't have been co-eternal together. And then we have those in the message, Father, that believe that Jesus was His own Father. Well, that would not make Him a Son then. And so, Father, we recognize then that they would not have these benefits afforded to them. But, Father, because You gave us Your promise that he that believeth in the Son of God hath all these benefits. And so, Lord, we're studying those benefits because we want to know, Father, what it is that You have for us. And so, Father, we just commit this study this morning into Thy keeping for our benefit, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice in 1 John 5 and verse 10, there's two parts to this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And the second part is, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the witness or the testimony that God gave of his Son. Now, as I mentioned Wednesday night, we showed you that this verse of Scripture has two parts. Part number one speaks of the witness, which we found is the Holy Spirit himself. And the second half of the Scripture tells us that he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, before we get to the second part this morning, I want to just glean a few thoughts from our message Wednesday night for those who were not able to attend the Wednesday evening service, because we focused our thoughts on the first half of the Scripture that says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." And again, we pointed out that this word "hath" was translated from the Greek word "echo," so this verse should read, "He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself." Now, we know there is a difference between just being a witness and the witness. For the witness is the Holy Ghost himself. 1 John 5 and verse 6 tells us it is the Spirit, notice it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. We went to the book of Romans to establish that it is the Spirit of God that is the witness. And the important point in our study was to establish that in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that the important thing is not that we bear witness with God and what He does, but that He bears witness with our spirit. He said, the Spirit itself, that means God Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the problem we found is that many people will read this verse wrong, and thus they try to convince themselves that it is their own spirit that is bearing witness with the Spirit of God, and thus that makes them something. These are those who will not accept the sovereign position of God, that He does not need us. But rather, by taking the assumption that it is their own witness in their spirit and their choosing, they thus null and void the witness of the Spirit and the choice that is reserved for God to make and Him alone. For what good is your choice if it is not God's choice? And what good is it that you witness in your spirit that you are what God doesn't say you are? In other words, look, you can think you're something, you can think that you are, but if you're really not, if God didn't make you that, you'd never be. How many people we see try to rise up and, you know, they think they're a great preacher, or they think that they're an apostle, you know? You've seen all these spiritual people go walk around, and everything's very, very spiritual to these people, and they walk around, you know, and they try to act like they're somebody. It's like the man, you know, that used to use his 6-inch pick and you walk around real spiritual, and everything becomes to you just something very, very spiritual. And they're trying to be what they're not, you see? And so what good is it if you identify yourself as something, but God doesn't identify you as that? We read from the scripture where they said, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? He said, depart from me. I didn't know you. So what good did all their works do them? Not diddly squat. The problem that we found is, as in the Baptist church, as example, they put all of their belief in one verse of scripture that says that if you confess, you'll be saved. What good is your confession in a God that isn't a God? If you've got a God that's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, if you've got a Trinitarian God, you've got three gods, and you put your confession into that, as Paul said, what good is it going to do you? Now, the whole text of what Paul is saying here is that it is God who bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. We can claim that God is our Father all that we want, but that won't make it true unless God claims us Himself. And therefore, it matters not what witness we give of ourselves, for we can witness all we want and claim God as our Father all we want, but if God does not claim us and bear witness Himself that we are His children, then we are not. And that's the end of debate. In St. John chapter 8, we see Jesus Himself debating this very issue with the Pharisees who claimed first to be Abraham's seed. And then when Jesus showed them that Abraham had two seeds, one by flesh and the other by promise, then they denied being the one by flesh and they went straight to claiming themselves as being God's seed, the one by promise. But Jesus didn't cut them any slack and He denied that they were God's seed even though they claimed to be. He said, I am of God and you are not of God, but you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. He said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would believe me and do the works of Abraham. But because you believe me not, it shows that you are of your father the devil. And He laid it out pretty plain before them. He said, if you were of God, you would believe me, for I say nothing of myself but what He tells me to say. And I do nothing but what He tells me to do. And I have surrendered my will to His will, and my thoughts to His thoughts, and my actions to His actions. And since you will not receive what I've told you, then it shows that you are not deceived, because the things that I've told you are the things God told me to tell you. Now this brings us to the second part of this verse this morning. And let's just read it again for a refresher. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10 we read, He that believeth on the Son of God hath, or echoes, the witness, the Spirit of God Himself in himself. Now that was a nice study. But the second point that John makes here is that he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Can you imagine someone making God a liar? They do it every day. Why do they make him a liar? Because he believeth not the record, the witness, which God has given of His Son. Now this word record is the same Greek word as we read in the first half of this verse that was translated as the word witness. So we can read this as, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, which is the witness or the testimony of God that He gave of His Son. Now John is telling us here that these people are making God out to be a liar because they do not believe the witness or the record or the testimony which God Himself gave of His Son. So we must ask ourselves this question: how can anyone make God out to be anything other than what He is? Jesus said He is the truth. Now John's not saying here that God is a liar because these people say so, but he is saying to them, they believe God is a liar because he is not saying what they think that he should be saying concerning his son. You see? In other words, they made Jesus out to be a liar and demon-possessed because he was saying scripture different from the way that they had heard it, or they thought that it was supposed to be said. So we must ask ourselves this question: how is it that these people can make God out to be a liar? That's the thing we want to focus on today. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now, is it really possible to make God what He is not? In no way, shape, or form is it possible. Then what does John really mean by this? Well, the Amplified translation puts it a little bit better. It says, he who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, in that he refuses to accept the testimony which God has given about His Son. The Weymouth translation says, excuse me, let me just read this again. The Amplified. He that does not believe God in his testimony has made him out to be and represented him as a liar. The Weymouth translation says, he who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar in that he has refused to accept the testimony which God has given about his son. Now, the first thing we must understand in reading this verse is what is that it says, he who does not believe God is the one who makes him out to be a liar. Now, the fact of the matter is this. The first part of the sentence speaks of those who do not believe God. And if they do not believe God, then they are what? If they're not believers, they're unbelievers. So the unbeliever will take the words of God and make them out to be a lie. And how do they do not? How is it that they do not believe God? Is that they do not believe what God has said concerning his son. John calls this his testimony, or his record, or his witness, or the witness of God concerning his own son. And as we read together, it says, he who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, in that he has refused to accept the testimony which God has given about his son. They refuse to accept God's own testimony, which is his own word. And that is the battle that we have today with most of the so-called Christians. They claim to believe God's word, but they refuse to accept what God has said about his son. They refuse the record which God has given us from his own Bible, his own word, concerning his son. Then to believe anything contrary to what God has said concerning his son means that you are an unbeliever. And to disbelieve the record that God has given us of his son is to label God in your own mind a liar, and that is a pretty serious charge against God. Because Jesus told us that to say one word against the Holy Ghost when he comes is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and to call him a liar is the unforgivable sin. Therefore, we must know the record that God, the Holy Spirit, has given to us of his Son, so that we have the benchmark that tells us if we're blasphemers or not. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's all going to boil down to this. Either you're for him or you're against him. Either you reflect and echo the truth or you're a blasphemer. Because there's only one way that you're going to find yourself in the lake of fire, and that's that to do the unpardonable sin, because all other sin can be forgiven. But to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, to call him a liar, when his record is very plain, is the unpardonable sin. Now, in order to know what this is, we must go to the official record itself, and that is what the Holy Spirit has written through the Scriptures, and the declaration of the Holy Ghost that came down with a shout, which is a message in this hour. And remember and never forget, William Branham was God's mouthpiece in this hour, and he told us, my ministry is to declare him. So to refuse that declaration is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because you're calling it a lie. And the word declare means to make known formally or officially. We have it both in written form, and we have the record on tape. It's called recorded. And recorded comes from the root of record. To state emphatically or authoritatively, and to affirm. It means to reveal or to make manifest, to show. It means to make a full statement. And that is exactly what the record of God is. It is God's testimony of his son. It is God's account, the information and the facts, especially in writing, that gives us a means of preserving the knowledge. And so we read in the scripture in 1 John 5 and verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In John chapter 5 and verse 19. And what record is this that he's telling us? That the Son cannot do until the Father shows him to do. Then how can he be his own Father? What is he, some kind of a schizophrenic? In John chapter 12 and verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. We'd all be better off if we'd wait for the commandment of God to speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And if Jesus can receive a commandment from the Father, then he, the Son of God, is not sovereign. He is not independent, and he is not omniscient, nor is he omnipotent. He said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me. That doesn't show omnipotence. It shows someone who's fully dependent. Remember a few weeks ago we read in the Scripture, in Isaiah 42 and 19 that he's blind to everything except the Father. Oh, if we could just be blind to everything except what God has for us to know. You know, marriages would be a lot better if we just be blind to everything else but what God has for us. Not looking at circumstance, not looking at little things that pop up here and there, but getting your focus on the end of the road. In John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And if his doctrine is not even his, then he's not the author, is he? And if he's not the author, then he's not the finisher. Hallelujah. Hey, if his doctrine's not his, the things he said were not his, the things he did were not his, he's not the author. And if he's not the author, he's not the finisher. Then who's it talking about when it speaks of the author and finisher? It's God. In John 5 and verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I speak not my own, but the will of the Father which sent me. I bear witness of myself, or if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." Notice he even gave up his will, which is his own purpose and his own ability to make a choice for himself. In John 6 and verse 38, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me." In the garden, he wrestled with this. He said, "Father, I would that you, it's my will that you take this from me, but not my will, but thine be done. I would, Father, that you would take this from me, but nevertheless, I'm surrendering my will. Not my will, but thine be done." In Hebrews 5 and verse 8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And if he is his own father, then who is he obedient to?" Now, come on. Let's read the scripture with a little common sense. In John chapter 8 and verse 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Now this statement clearly distinguishes that there are two persons involved here. In John 14 and 10, "The words that I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Here Jesus tells us that he could not even speak all by himself. He was totally dependent upon the Father for the words to say. In John 5 and verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And here we see that that he was dependent upon the Father to work and to show him how to work. Now, William Branham, prophet of God and God's mouthpiece to us in this hour, said he did not believe like the one is believed, and that Jesus and God were not one like your fingers one. And he said that Jesus was a dual being. And he said that there are two concerning the Father and the Son. And he said all sons have beginnings. And he said that Jesus could not be his own Father. And he said the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. And he said that God indwelt the Son at the River Jordan, and he left him in the Gethsemane. So we have eight definitive statements that the Holy Spirit has recorded to us on magnetic tape. And if you do not believe the recording or the record, which is the testimony of the Holy Spirit, you have made God out to be a liar. And if you do not believe God, then what does that make you? You're an unbeliever. Now, there are many who are claiming to follow this message that are nothing more than blasphemers, reprobate concerning the truth. You might say, well, why do you get on in the case of these people in the message? Because they shouldn't be in the message. They should call themselves what they are, Pentecostals. They're not message believers. They're message tagalongs. They're hoping for the bread and the fishes and loaves. That's all they want. They don't want the word of life. They don't want the bread of life. They're blasphemers. And they're reprobate concerning the truth. I remember, well, I don't want to get into specifics, but I remember one man. And we were talking about concerning the appearing versus the coming. I said, well, what would you do with the statement where Brother Branham said there's an appearing before, or there's a coming before the coming? He said, I wouldn't believe it. Now, if I asked any of you in here, what would you do with the statement William Branham said, would you have the unmitigated gall or arrogance to say I wouldn't believe what Brother Branham said? So that told me right there that the man was a make-believer himself. He's an unbeliever. Then we have the other man that says, well, Brother Branham made a mistake. That Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And I said, if I can show you a scripture. He said, because there's no scripture for it. I said, yes, there is scripture for it. I said, if I can show you scripture, will you believe it? He said, yes. And I said, all right, Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the word forsaken means to totally abandon. And the man said, well, I still don't believe it. I said, of course not, you're an unbeliever. He said, you shouldn't call me an unbeliever. I said, you just said yourself you don't believe. That makes you an unbeliever. So I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, but if the shoe fits, then we had better wear it. And if you say that you do not believe the record that God has laid down in the Scripture that is replete with evidence showing the difference between the Father and the Son, and the record which God Himself came and declared in this hour, a shout, a message, if you don't believe that, you're an unbeliever. Then you might as well just get out of this message and go back to a Pentecostal experience where you can at least have some fun in your flesh. Like Brother Vail used to say, you might as well just go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Because if they don't believe the record, then they are in effect saying that they do not believe God, and you know better than God does concerning His own Son. And to me, there could be nothing more arrogant than for a person to deny vindicated truth and think that they know better. From the message, Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Brown said, he said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. No one could read that any plainer. They said, why don't you show us the Father and it'll satisfy us? John 14 and 8. He said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. As a lady once jumped up, she said, why, Brother Brown? She said, the Father and the Son are one, just like you and your wife are one. And I said, no, they're not. I said, do you see me? She said, yes. I said, do you see my wife? She said, no. I said, then they're not the same kind of one. Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. My wife don't dwell in me. See? They are one in every way, they're one. From John 5 and verse 28, Jesus said, marvel not for this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of the and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. So there you have it. Jesus can judge because God, his Father, knows that he will only judge what God has already judged. He said, I have not come down to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Then he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not even true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. So if there's another, that doesn't mean the same one. He's not speaking of himself. Well, there's another that beareth witness of me. Me, myself, and I. We got three. You think God is an idiot? You think the elect that can't be deceived are idiots? My. In verse 36, we find out who the witness is. Jesus is speaking about, because he says if Jesus is consistent in what that he's been telling them, then he has to be his Father that he's speaking about. You see, if he's taken their way, in John 5 and verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. So either he's saying the Father is another, or he's saying he's himself. And he's not saying he's himself. How ludicrous. How could anybody read the Scriptures and say that Jesus was his own Father? Now let's just stop for a moment and look at another scripture that Jesus is speaking of concerning this judging. In John chapter 8 and verse 16, he says, but yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It also is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me, he is the other. He beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. Notice the words of Jesus. He says, I am not alone. Now that speaks of another. meaning more than one is involved here. And he tells us immediately who that other is. I and my Father that sent me. Then he says in verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Then notice who those two men are that he's speaking of, that are bearing witness. He says, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. That's the two he's talking about. Now, Jesus considered himself to be one with God in that way. Why would we speak any other words than what he said? But they could not see his Father because they did not understand what he was talking about. So they looked for one that cannot be seen, and they missed seeing that he was living in his Son. Now, getting back to John 14 and verse 8, we read, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you? And yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believeth me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Obviously, from this, what we've seen so far, Jesus is not saying here that he and his Father are one like your fingers one. But what he's saying is that the same word that is in the Father is abiding in him, and that makes him one with the Father. Brother Brown further clarified this in his sermon, Show Us the Father. In paragraph 36, he said, Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. And it says here that he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself. The mortal virgin born, Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people. See? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And now he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Again in the sermon, he swore by himself, Brother Branham said. We can find William Branham clarifying that this is what was meant when Jesus... Jesus spoke to Philip. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father is in me. He said, Show us the Father, Philip said. Show me the Father and it'll satisfy me, said Philip. But I've been so long with you and you don't know me, he said. When you see me, you see the Father. And why show us the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works, it's him that dwells in me, that he does the works. Oh my, how could I tell what was wrong with him? How could I tell him what his future will be in 10 years? Or what he was 40 years ago? It isn't me. Hallelujah. It's him that lives in me, that come down, that through his blood brought me into fellowship with me. Hallelujah. How could my hands do anything by healing the sick? It hasn't got a bit of power. It's not me, but it's him that dwells in here that does it. So Brother Branham is letting you know that the same thing took place in this hour. He said, how could I tell you your future 10 years from now, right now, to tell to you? How would I have the power to do it? How could I have power to lay hands on the sick and have that person healed? He said, it's not me. It's the Father that dwells in me. And since three is a witness, let me share one more quote with you where William Branham further elucidates this point that Jesus and God were one by the reason of the Father abiding in him, directing him by his word. From the Message Conference, he said, When he said, It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father, he dwelleth in me. And my Father and me and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. And he did the same works that he did when he dwelt in the body standing before Abraham. Again, from as I was with Moses, Brother Bram said, When Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that the Father was in him. That all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the blessings and gifts. For he was just expressed image of the Father, and in him dwelled all the richness of God in dwelling in him here. Looking up. And I said, and he said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. Just as Jehovah, just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the expressed image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put into a human body. And he said, It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. from the message gifts. Brother Branham said, now in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had all the Spirit of God in him. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. That's the reason the people couldn't understand him. Sometimes he'd say something might look like he'd turn around and say something different. It was him speaking, then the Father speaking, see? They were, and even the disciples could not understand him. And right at the last, they said, now, lo, thou speakest plainly. Now we believe by this that you know all things, that no man needs to teach you. And Jesus said, do you now believe? After all that time, they couldn't get the... Why? That sometimes that he say this and then say that. It was him and the Father speaking. And now notice closely, now God dwelling in Christ used his voice to speak by. Jesus said in his miracle, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Is that right? St. John 5:19. Then he did not do nothing within himself. No prophet ever did anything within himself until first God showed what to do. What a mistake Moses made when he went out without a vision of God and smote down the Egyptian, thought he'd liberate them with his hands, because he thought that he had a lot of faith and he could do it, because he was called for the job. No matter how much you're called for the job, God has to do the leading. See? He failed of all of his schooling and his military mind and his training as a great Egyptian leader, but yet it failed because God had a program and we've got to work according to God's program. No matter what we do, how smart we are, we've got to humble ourselves and work according to God's program. Amen. So he failed and God had to keep him another 40 years to educate him. So what it was that he must forget himself, and it's not him, but it was God. So Brother Brown is letting us know that Moses failed because he didn't do what Jesus did. He didn't get himself out of the way. You see? So God had to train him for 40 years to get himself out of the way. For show us the Father and it'll satisfy. He said, the works that I do shall you also. And seeing the same results by human beings so submitted to God until the Holy Spirit can work through those human beings just like the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus, who just has confessed that I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. It's not my words. It's his words. See, he was so submitted to God. And from Revelation chapter 1, he said he was a true and faithful witness to God's eternal word. He was the word. Was God's word. And being the word, he was a prophet. For the word of God flowed through him. He'd say only the things I can do nothing of myself, but what the Father shows me to do. Not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. I and my Father are one. My Father's in me, and Jesus the man, the tabernacle. Now, I could go on and on and on. I've got lots and lots of scripture. I'm just going to pass up a few pages here. These are just quotes of Brother Branham. And I just want to say this. Let's go back to our topic here. Notice the scripture. I'm just going to put aside three. If you want to see them, they'll be on the internet. We've given word upon word upon word, record upon record upon record, both from the scripture and from the prophet of the hour. And it wasn't Brother Branham's words, it was God's words. And it bore record to the relationship between the Father and the Son. And if you don't believe the record, you've made God out to be a liar. Then what does that make you? It makes you a blaspheming unbeliever. And that's all I'm going to say this morning. God bless you. This is Power, His, and Prayer. The gracious Father, we, Lord, thank you for this scripture because it shows, Lord, that it has a twofold part. Those that believe the record, they echo the witness within. They echo the record within. They echo the testimony of God within. But those that refuse the record, they make God out to be a liar. And they have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and they're fitting themselves for destruction. And so, Lord, we just are thankful that you have allowed us, Lord, to see and to know. And you've given us an understanding. And Father, we just commit our understanding back to thee in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, next week, we're going to get into that, the next benefit. And that is that he has given us an understanding, that the Son came to give